Pottersburg Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Mari Lurie interviewing Gertrude Kaplan on June the 15th. This is a continuation of an interview. Gertrude.
Yes.
I think on the last tape we ended about, we were discussing your family, your children, and that hiatus in your life when you spent those formative years raising your two girls, and I think you were living on Beacon Street. Could we just chat a little more about that? Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your social life with the family, kind of vacations you took, the hobbies you had.
I'd be delighted to. I didn't know we were going to get into this aspect of our lives, and I'm very happy to discuss it. Our home and our family were, I would say, the core of the family. We, I don't think, had a weekend that my husband's brother, wife, and children, my parents, my in-laws, my sister and her children were not with us for one dinner. Usually Sunday. Thanksgiving became such a wonderful ritual that to this day our nieces and nephews and great nieces and great nephews try to get in from all points of the country, since they have traveled indeed beyond Pittsburgh. And I guess Paul and I, each of us is the older sibling, so I would presume that we became the hub. My parents were warm, vibrant, dynamic, Jewishly cultured people, and there was a great deal of this in our home. In fact, strangers have come to know that if there's the slightest kind of occasion, Paul will make a beautiful toast, which he really works at, and there will be songs, skits, and entertainment. It's a given. I did this, I guess, all my life in community, but I also did it all my life for family. And these are treasures. It was always an opportunity. I guess the art of communication was important to us all. We did it through song. We were musical. And we did it through poetry. We did it through communication. It's interesting you should ask that. And, you know, during this time when my children were young and I was so busy with community, I was the president of Ladies Hospital Aid Society, the Auxiliary de Montefiore, when my girls were 9 and 12. And they were marvelously supportive of me. We always talk about parents supporting children. Mm-hmm. Both my husband and my children were so positively supportive of my communal efforts. My friends used to say, and you just reminded me of this with the question, my friends used to say, it's a pleasure to call your home. Your daughters don't say, Mom's out, sorry, bye, or they don't talk so that we can't understand them. Mm-hmm. Is there a message? May she call you back? There wasn't a week that they weren't doing some chore for the organization, whether it was stuffing envelopes or folding or, and incidentally, both of them became volunteers as volunteens in their teenage years at the hospital. But they enjoyed participating, and they shared, and they contributed. They had to, because it was a very busy life. But I always used to say I had two lives. I would say that my communal day began when they left for school, and I packed, and to this day I'm packing, and I may have said this, so forgive me if it's repetition. Paul's lunch, he takes his brown paper bag, and I perhaps told you this, and the girls would frequently pack a lunch, and off, of course, they would go. And then I would almost always try to be home at 3:30 to do the inevitable chauffeuring, doctoring. Robbie took many, many dance lessons, and it was a matter of getting to these. And, you know, our children were of that genre, that age, that got taken to things. I traveled by streetcar and bus when I was a youngster to go to my lessons. They were chauffeured.
What type of vacations did you usually spend with your
family? We took family vacations to the seashore. Frequently we took my parents, Paul's father. It was Wildwood or Bemis Point or Beach Haven. Mm-hmm. The girls would go for a short camp experience, a month at the most. They never went away to camp completely. We were, as I told you, not golfers or country clubbers, so it was, we belonged to a swim club, and the activities were at the swim club when we were in the city. And swimming, incidentally, has been a very important part of all of our lives from a mm-hmm. physical point of view. Paul is an ice skater, and to this day, I think he's the senior member at the Schenley Oval ice skating, which is wonderful. With Mr. Marcus Aaron, by the way, who is more senior than Paul. I must append that or change that. Anyway, we loved the seashore, and we were that. And if the girls went to camp, we vacationed either before or after together. Oh, that's all right. I was so busy answering it.
No, I had something on my mind and it just disappeared.
It will return.
Never mind. With your, at this point, did you start doing communal work?
I mentioned the
ladies' hospital.
I started when my, I think I told you that I did substitute teaching and television work when my children were preschool.
Yes.
And when I after 4 years in television, I became involved, matter of fact, it's interesting, I was trying to recall this myself. I took one of these routine jobs for the Cancer Society mm-hmm. in Squirrel Hill. And it was a matter of doing the physicians in the community and a few of my blocks. Apparently did such a thorough job that the following year they asked me to do all of Squirrel Hill. Mm-hmm. That was when my children were very young. I took a very big job, Hadassah donor, literally when my older daughter was 2.5 and I was pregnant with my little one. Mm-hmm. And we laughed about that because most of my contemporaries were doing, were aides and hostesses, and I was the chairman of the event. It was very gratifying. I met wonderful, older, committed women in community then. My work for Hadassah went on into different roles. I did the radio program, which Hadassah had for so many years, called Hadassah Speaks. Followed Belle Shapira in that. We wrote the script, we arranged, it was public service time. And it preceded my involvement in Shalom Pittsburgh, which was the Federation television show. So I somehow tried still to bring in this communication activity. So it was really simultaneous with my involvement in hospital aid. Mm-hmm. I was, as a new bride, involved in hospital aid by virtue of Paul certainly being on the staff at Montefiore, my concern for the program, for the hospital, and went through all the steps before presidency. I was a young president, one of the youngest probably in my, late 30s. Trying to think.
President of what organization?
Ladies Hospital Aid Society, Auxiliary de Montefiore. We were enormously strong then. In my presidency, we were 4,000 strong.
What year was that?
That was 58, 59, mm-hmm. 59, 60, into 58 to 60. We did some remarkable things. Even then, we were turning over close to $250,000 a year to the hospital. Even then. And we had one of the largest, and still I think have one of the largest, most impressive volunteer programs. It was in my regime that we realized the program was growing, and we hired a part-time secretary for the first time. It had all been complete volunteer work. But prior to becoming the president, we did some unique things. When I was vice president of Social Service Department, do you want to hear this?
Certainly.
When I was the vice president of the Social Service Department, and I did every role, I chaired membership, I was chairman of finance, you know, I really, unlike today, we really groomed and trained. We weren't just plucked out of left field, so to speak. It was a different era, and there was a lot of quality talent around, and this talent went into volunteerism. We had a pediatric department at Montefiore at that time, and we felt that we wanted to change the whole look of the department. We were given a nice budget, and we called in Marty Wolfson. In fact, I saw him the other day, and he and I were talking about this, who still does work in design and proceeded to do some of this later for Children's Hospital. We tore that floor apart And we came into the most, one of the most creative children's wards in the country at the time. We really were early on in recognizing that that there had to be color and pictures and the whole concept of what you do for a children's ward. We did then. I did something on a volunteer level with two other women that I think is unique. We did a 20-minute film documentary on the organization. And we wrote it, and we went on site, and we planned it. We dealt with one video man. This is way before video was popular. I'm speaking over 30 years ago, or 32, 35 years ago. We had a big budget of $500. The Women's Auxiliary then was doing a great deal of work outside the walls of the hospital. We were very involved with the Western Pennsylvania School for the Blind. We had and still have, we being LHAS, an exceptional committee for service to the blind. One of my own early volunteer roles was reading to the blind, both direct reading and then subsequently tape reading when we began to tape books. We worked very closely, and I do want to mention Janet Kleinman. Her mother-in-law, Mrs. Lebo, was one of the first women in the city to do so much work with the blind. Janet carried that on. Janet went back to school and
what was the first name?
Janet, Mrs. Lebo. She was the wife of a Dr. Lebo, a pediatrician, and she was probably the creator of this wonderful service to the blind in the community. We went way beyond the parameters of the hospital, as you mm-hmm. gather that. Janet Kleinman got her PhD in handling the visually impaired and became the executive director of the Western Pennsylvania School for the Blind for years. But Janet was my lay chairman when I was in the presidency. And often we talk about how the program grew and expanded. We won an award. We won a national award from the Lane Bryant Organization, we being LHAS, for the Committee for Service to the Blind.
That's wonderful.
It is exciting. When I think, I was trying to think of some of these things because they've slipped into my subconscious almost.
Absolutely.
Then, of course, after the extensive involvement as president of LHAS, I was always involved with Women's Division of Federation, but that seemed to be the progression. I became the campaign chairman of Women's Division.
Do you remember what year?
65.
Women's Division of
The United Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh. And I became the president, let's see, was I campaign chairman first? I think so, and president afterwards. Isn't that dreadful not to remember? But I did both those roles. And really every conceivable, I obviously was an officer of federation. I went on the national UJA board. Did a great deal of speaking nationally for federation. Interestingly enough, I was asked to go on the national AHA, American Hospital Association Board, too, during my presidency of hospital aid. One of the women there, who was very active in fundraising, offered me a job, but it meant a lot of traveling. I wasn't going to leave the children and Paul for that purpose. I enjoyed doing any speaking engagements that I could, which did not necessitate staying out of town overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So if I left in the morning and flew any city, I was happy that I could fly back at night. But I enjoyed that. And I continue to be committed to Federation. I was honored by them, winning the Emanuel Spector Award. ORT honored me. I forgot that until this moment, with their Social Assistance Award. Never worked actively for ORT, but always respected and admired the program. The ZOA was kind enough to give me their Community Leadership Award in, goodness, when was it, 79 or 80?
ZOA is...
Zionist Organization mm-hmm. of America, Tri-State ZOA. And Bonds paid me tremendous tribute because I worked concurrently always for Israel Bonds. I was sponsor chairman. I was... I never took the chairmanship of Women's Division. I was on their board. I chaired several of their functions. And last year I was the Golda Meir awardee, you may or may not know that, by Israel Bonds. It was a most exciting Woman of the Year evening. Wonderful. I think of these things really, I almost don't, it isn't that I don't remember the joy and the pleasure of them, but when you're busy, you know. And in the period of several years, I have served United Way. It isn't only the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to continue with this, Mari?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're giving us a brief synopsis of all these groups that you've been in.
I have to delve
a little deeper.
I was one of the organizers of the Pittsburgh Dance Council in Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to do is take you back a little again.
All right.
To where we were talking early years.
Right.
You've talked about television work.
Right.
Did you have training? Did you do drama?
Oh, yes.
And did you go to Carnegie Mellon by
No, I did not. I went to the University of Pittsburgh. I was offered a scholarship to CMU, Carnegie Tech then, but I went to Pitt. But I was all the Pitt Players days.
Was this after you graduated from Pitt with your teacher's degree?
No. Oh, yes. I worked at the Pittsburgh Playhouse after I... Yes. I was in plays and shows on a... semi-professional level.
Yes.
I worked for Fred Burley at Pittsburgh Playhouse in Children's Theater.
Yes.
I didn't do any adult shows. I was too busy then. I did a tremendous number of shows for all the organizations that I've spoken of. Wrote many of them, directed many of them, participated in many of them, including Rhoda Shalom Temple, including Hadassah, including Ladies Hospital Aid, including Council. I seem to have been all over the map.
You have been, huh? But your actual training for TV work?
My actual training for TV work was my years of experience. If you recall, I told you I worked with Grace Price Katz in Pittsburgh Children's Civic Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it was clinical on-the-job training.
I see.
I really don't, I had dancing lessons and singing lessons and piano lessons. You know, I don't think I ever had any dramatic lessons.
That's interesting.
No, I really didn't. Mm-hmm. But I was always in it, involved in it.
Tell us a little more about Shalom Pittsburgh. When did that show start?
Did it start when... I have been active in CRC, a federation. That's a good question. Did it start? We got that from WTAE when the CRC became a committee of federation. They gave us this public service time. Later on, KDKA gave us radio time called Mosaic. I don't think either one of them exists anymore. Shalom Pittsburgh was, I was the chair of the CRC, but before that I was chair of that committee. So mine was sort of behind the scenes.
Would you spell out CRC?
Community Relations Committee.
That's right.
Of the United Jewish Federation. I'm sorry. What, you may recall the name Lillian Friedberg, this wonderful, eminent woman who was a tremendous force in civil rights in the city, and was the executive director of an organization called the Jewish Community Relations Council. When that council was in danger of going out of business, it was brought into the Federation umbrella and merged with Federation's community activities. And several of these activities came through the umbrella organization of CRC, which is still a very strong ecumenical arm into the community. It was during my CRC chairmanship that we evolved the Black Jewish Dialogue that is now going on so strongly.
Is it the CRC Committee of the United...
That is correct. United Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh. Of the United Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh. You were asking me about television.
I've just hit that.
Of Shalom Pittsburgh, right.
What was your program?
Our program was strictly to bring in an entertaining way the message of the Jewish community of Pittsburgh to the total community.
And how long was your program?
Half hour long on Sunday mornings.
Uh-huh.
We used to have a decent time. We started out with an 8 o'clock a.m., and then they pushed us to 7:30, and then they pushed us to 6:30, and then they pushed us to... By that time, we realized they really... There was a time when the FCC, Federal Communication Commission, was a little stricter about the public service time that television stations gave their constituencies. But that has not been the case, and they have been more indifferent to that commitment. Mm-hmm. We used the time to tell our message of all Jewish activities, Jewish agencies, Jewish institutions, holidays, religious right. observances, and so forth.
And the show, does it still exist
no,
today?
No. It was we gave it up. Federation gave it up when the time slot was pushed, I think, to 6 a.m. in the morning or something. Okay. We got to the point when I was chairing Shalom Pittsburgh Committee, when we paid a producer, Shirley Katz did produce and direct it. Mm-hmm. And I was on camera doing the news very frequently in the role before Nick Lane. Nick Lane became then the regular commentator, and maybe you've seen him. Mm-hmm. He's very good.
So, again, getting back to
right.
those days.
Right.
After you graduated as a teacher,
oh my
did
goodness.
You go back and do postgraduate?
I did.
Well,
I went
tell
back.
Tell us a little about that.
I went back to the Graduate School of Humanities at the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a master's, didn't think at the time. This was when my younger daughter went away to school and it was an empty nest.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been a little saturated with community. I didn't know what direction I wanted to take. I loved it. I found it extremely stimulating. I was, you know, one of the grandmothers in the class when the others were very seriously getting their master's and PhDs. And I think I made the mistake of not going into a more specific pursuit. Maybe one of the regrets of my life that I didn't go back to law or for an MBA. But I enjoyed what I was doing. I was offered a teaching assistantship, which I refused because I knew I was out of town traveling too much with my husband to visit children and so forth, and it was not going to be feasible. Maybe that sounds like an excuse, but it was a reality.
Well, imagine if you'd done only law, you would have been so restricted to have done all these other wonderful things.
You know, Mari, you make a very good point. I met a woman whom I always admired enormously, who did indeed teach, was a professor at the University of Pittsburgh. Contemporary of mine, maybe a few years older, and we met at a party. And I said to her, I hear you're retiring, and she said, yes. I said, you know, I always kind of envied you because you were so significant in your profession and such and accomplished so much. And she said to me, isn't that funny? I always envied you. I said, you don't mean it. She said, yes, because you were always able to serve in so many ways. And this is apparently what you're saying.
But in fact, did you go back and teach?
No, not after my substitute work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I taught while Paul was overseas and then did some substitute work after he came home briefly. Mm-hmm. No, after that I did not teach.
Mm-hmm. And just to finish that little area in your mm-hmm. life, when you think back to mm-hmm. your days living on Beacon Street,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would you compare then with now, economically, culturally? Do you think it has changed?
Economically, no. We were very fortunate. Paul was obviously doing very well in his profession. The emphasis was family life. The emphasis was togetherness. We were always involved in the cultural community. Paul and I have had symphony series and public theater and ballet and all subscriptions as long as I can remember. In fact, our first date, I may not have told you, was at Syria Mosque for the Bolshoi Ballet. this life here is totally the two of us on a day-to-day basis. We spend much time with our children, but that means traveling, and they come in. We really, having just been with them for 10 days, they're all coming in the end of this month
mm-hmm.
for my sister, a special anniversary of my sister. And so 6 or 8 weeks are really the most that elapse that we don't get together with family. But we're able to be selfish in our own pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing a great deal of traveling. And as I think I told you, we do accompany the Pittsburgh Symphony on their overseas tours. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to repeat myself, but I don't know where we are in this. My husband has been the physician for the Pittsburgh Symphony on their overseas tours since the late William Steinberg and the first trip to Japan in 1972. We are going to make our 9th trip with them in October, for the month of October, with Lauren Mazel conducting. In between, we traveled with Andre Previn, with Edward Mutya, and Michael Tilson Thomas, some of the guest conductors, said Nick Mazal. Paul works very hard. This is a voluntary contribution of his to the symphony. He is at every dress rehearsal and every concert. He is on call 24 hours a day, and he is scrupulous about it. He began to collate his medications. He writes to all the drug houses, and they are very generous. He began to do that a few months ago when we were in Florida. He brought the work with him.
Where will you be going?
We will be going first to Russia this year, Moscow and Leningrad, and Russia. Then to Warsaw. Mm. Then we are going for the first time to Italy. The orchestra has never performed in Italy. Rome and Milano, and possibly Naples, they're not sure. We will be returning to Germany. We have been to Germany with the orchestra several times. The German people know and like Mazel very much, and they like the Pittsburgh Symphony. That will be Bonn, Berlin, Hanover, I believe, Hamburg, Cologne. We are going to Amsterdam for the first time and Geneva, Switzerland for the first time. Then we're going to Paris and London, which are repeats. We always end up in Paris. They're marvelous, exciting trips. Thrilling. We're entertained by ambassadors and consul generals and embassies, and it's really quite, but it's a work trip for Paul. It's a work trip for the orchestra. Nevertheless, these are unique experiences.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Memories of different eras, say the time of the Depression.
I was definitely a child of the Depression. I remember it vividly.
Would you like to share some of those?
My parents lost their home on Dawson Street. We had a big, wonderful home, and they lost it. I think I may have told you, I began to work at age 12. I don't remember when I wasn't earning my own pocket money, when I wasn't paying for my own books. And the first car our family had, I bought when I went to teach. And it was a thrill. It was an old cab that we didn't know was a cab. We bought it secondhand. But these are positive memories.
Yes.
My mother was so adroit at sewing and making fresh clothes for my sister and me, and managing so well to keep a happy home, notwithstanding economic difficulties, notwithstanding the fact that my father and she, as I may have told you, assisted his whole family whom they brought over. Yes, I remember. I think this is probably why I still value the work ethic. I'm so used to working. But on the other hand, I have never put a dollar value on my communal work. I always felt that if I had to go back to work for whatever economic reasons were necessary, I could
do it
and be independent. But I always also felt that the gratification from serving community was worth ever so much more.
So I'm just wanting your impressions on a few, or memories if you like, a few other events. We talked about the World War II when you met your husband.
Which we lived through.
You told us a little about that. Mm-hmm. How about the Korean War?
Vietnam touched us because our son-in-law was called to active duty.
Mm-hmm.
And went to, was sent to Shepherd Air Base, to the Air Force, having finished his medical school career and his internship. He did a 2-year stint, and we were very grateful that he wasn't sent overseas.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in Wichita Falls, Texas. I may have mentioned that to you, where their first child, our first grandson, was born. The Vietnam War, my husband and I very strongly felt, was just a catastrophe. I guess I was involved in those issues through my National Council of Jewish Women Activities. Council was always the organization mm-hmm. that was the conscience. I haven't told you about all my student aid and scholarship work. My Lord, that's probably one of the most important things in my life. I became student aid chairman of council and worked in that role for years when we didn't have to rotate off. I'm still doing student aid work. About 27, 28 years ago, Federation said, look, we've got council giving out student aid for colleges. We've got the JCC, we have Hebrew Free Loan, and we have Federation. Why don't we create an umbrella? And I was one of the people who was in the formative process of that for Central Scholarship and Loan Referral Service of Federation. We being Federation,